Please remain standing as we come to the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Our loving Father in heaven, we worship you, we honor you, and we adore you. As we look forward to celebrate Thanksgiving in a few days, today and every day, Lord, we want to give thanks to you. We often go about our days to work, study, and live, and we may think our lives are a result of our own strength and effort. But in reality, we are utterly dependent on you and all that you have provided to us. You are faithful forever, perfect in love, and sovereign over us. We thank you, Lord, for the air we breathe, rain to alleviate severe drought, sun to give warmth and grow foods. You sustain us and care for our daily needs. We thank you that you foreknew us and knit us together in our mother's womb. You save us, you forgive us. By your grace, you call us your children. And you gather us into families and into our community. Every material blessing and spiritual blessing comes from you. So we count our blessings and we thank you. We confess that we have sinned against you with our thoughts, our words, and our actions. Please forgive us when we become callous and ungrateful. Father, with gratitude, we thank you for such great love and mercy. Lord, we pray for our dear brothers and sisters in our church who are sick and with broken bodies, that you may heal them according to your will. Give them strength and comfort and to endure painful treatments and rehab and to recover well. We pray against spiritual attacks. Please surround them with your shield of protection. We pray for those who may be discouraged with broken hearts. We pray for those who may be tired and weary. Please fill them with courage and hope and assurance of your care. Sovereign Lord, teach us to order our steps and walk humbly before you. Teach us to turn to you and ask with bold faith. We are certain that nothing escapes your sight and knowledge, and nothing is out of your control. We trust in your wisdom. You take care of your children more than the flowers and the sparrows. Thank you that we can come to you and find rest, for you are good to us. We pray in the mighty name of Jesus. Be glorified. Amen. Let us remain standing for the reading of the Word of God. Today's scripture comes from Luke chapter 17, from verses 11 to 19. I will read from the English Standard Version, the ESV. Luke 17, 11 to 19. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show themselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." May God bless the reading of his holy word. Please be seated. Good morning and welcome to Rutgers Community Christian Church. I am Pastor Sandy, and I'm delighted to bring a message from the Lord for this season of Thanksgiving. Now, little children in America have grown up hearing what parents and teachers call the magic words when being trained to have good manners. This is how polite human beings behave and speak to one another. These little but important words should flow out of our mouths with grace, appreciation, and gratitude. And these magic words are please and thank you. Whether in English or another language, por favor, gracias, de nada, or спасибо, пожалуйста, mgoy, xiexie, kamsahamidad, merci beaucoup. These magic words are golden when heard in any language. These are words that need to be heard and need to be spoken more often to people we take for granted, to people who help and serve us, to people we live with, and especially to God, who gives all things. 1 Thessalonians 5 tells us to give thanks in all circumstances. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. In all circumstances, not only when it's convenient or easy, but also when it's painful and hard. There are times that we forget or just don't feel like giving thanks because it hurts or we feel disappointed. But we give thanks in every circumstance, for this is God's will for us. You may be praying for a dear friend who is seriously sick, or waiting upon the Lord for an unanswered prayer, or grieving a devastating loss, like my family this week. We trust in his unfailing love. His love never fails, and his mercies are new every morning. We rejoice always, pray unceasingly, and give thanks in everything. In Romans 8, it says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither the present nor the future, nor any other powers, neither height nor depth, or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And in this life, on this side of heaven, there are times that we discover setbacks. But as believers, we have our treasures in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, nor in despair, persecuted and not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. God is at work in us, and he is not quite done yet. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes on not what is seen, but on what is unseen. since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. In our scripture text today, we find Jesus encountering 10 individuals at the border in a no-friend zone between pure Jews and half-breed Samaritans. And these 10 are living under dire conditions. None of us would like to trade places with them, with a leper. Then one day, Jesus comes their way. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance. Let me tell you in a nutshell what this scripture and what this message is from the Lord. There are 10 who encounter Jesus wanting healing, a lifetime of suffering, but only one receives the full blessing that God had intended for them. What God wanted was to give them something lasting, salvation, to make them whole again. But they were satisfied with the healing, 10%. We come to God and we want things from him. And when he gives it to us, do we stay to thank him, to worship him, to follow him? As a youth pastor, when I found out the statistics of people coming into church were so poor that by the time you finish college, maybe only 1 out of 5 will stay in the faith. 1 for 5. I find that rather dissatisfying, don't you? If 1 out of 10 is going to stay, that was so unsatisfying as a youth pastor. So I was praying and asking God, why only 1 out of 5? Why only 1 out of 10? So I look at all my teens and I tell them, you see your friends here? In a few years from now, they may be walking away from the Lord. If you are the one who is staying, you grab onto them and say, you're going with me, baby. All of us are going together. 10 for 10. And don't leave your friends behind. And this is how we pray. This is how we pray. When I look at church, in this church, I feel pretty good. This community is wonderful. It might be 10 for 10. Praise God. That would be wonderful. I find 1 out of 10 very unsatisfying. And I hope that you pray with me and others that it'll be 10 for 10. Now, if there would be anyone who would face great hardship and living a thankless existence, it would be anyone with leprosy. Once a very misunderstood thing as a highly infectious disease, they were cast out and socially isolated. It was the priest's job to keep the community safe, so they were the gatekeepers. And unless they said they were cleansed, they had to live by rules. There are still some leper colonies today in the world. And I knew of an island over at Cape Cod where there was a leper colony up in Boston. But now we understand it that they can be fully reintegrated and live in society. In the early 1980s, a modern-day version of leprosy came with new deadly as a new deadly disease Later on, we identified it as AIDS, acquired immune deficiency syndrome. And I lived in the village of New York City, and it was an unknown pandemic. People were afraid to have human contact. No more handshaking, no more hugs. And I lost friends and classmates as early AIDS victims who died. Something vaguely familiar came with the COVID outbreak that happened in 2020. And according to Chuck Swindoll, the worst diagnosis in the early ancient times is to be told, you have leprosy. It was like a death sentence. And the Jewish historian Josephus considered being cleansed of leprosy is like raising the dead. What could Jesus possibly do to cause a leper to be full of thanksgiving? How would being cleansed from leprosy transform their lives? How would turning a hopeless misery into a heart of worship? First, they were thankful that the social isolation was being replaced with life and community. Lepers were considered infectious, incurable, unclean, and unwanted, even unholy and unforgiven by God. They had a skin disease, Hansen's disease. It's a slow-growing bacteria impacting the skin and peripheral nerves. Sometimes you don't even feel the pain, and your body is dying off. The perception was that touching a leper was like touching a dead person. And at the edge of this unnamed village, the lepers had to build their own little huts and live alone outside of the camp. We learn a lot from Leviticus 13. It sounds a little bit like a serious eczema or plaque psoriasis, a stigma of social isolation that was just as painful as the physical discomforts. But we understand the necessity to protect the entire community from a pandemic. And in Leviticus, we find out that they had to give a visual warning. They have to wear torn clothing so people can see them at a distance and stay back. Their hair was unkempt. They actually had to wear a face mask. That sounds so familiar to what we were doing with COVID. And then they had to give an audible warning as well. They had to shout at the top of their lungs, unclean, unclean. Just go ahead and announce what is wrong with you in such a way that keeps people far away and running. They were dependent on family members to bring them food and donations from time to time, to be left at a designated spot to pick up, but not to have human contact. It was a sentence of social isolation. And the priest has to inspect your skin rash, but the leper could not get within 50 paces, that's about 125 feet, from near human beings, except maybe another leper. No family, no friends, no one to love or to love you. You were quarantined and forgotten. 50 paces from love, 50 paces from family, 50 paces from life. In the Old Testament, we have two examples of people who were healed from leprosy. Miriam had leprosy for 7 days. It was a punishment for speaking against Moses, we find out in Numbers 12. And then Naaman, the commander of Aram, was healed by obeying the prophet Elisha to wash 7 times in the Jordan in order to be healed. And it was this act of obedience that brought his healing. Then there were no more recorded healings in Israel until Jesus came. Jesus came and he began cleansing lepers in Luke. Once Jesus offered cleansing or physical healing, and the priest declares them no longer unclean, they are no longer dead to the world and have a new life again. They are then allowed to rejoin the community and have life. And that is reason to give thanks. The second thing that they can be thankful for was that only God could heal leprosy, and now they are finding that Jesus is God who has come to them. The rabbis of Jesus' day taught that only God can cure leprosy. When Jesus comes into their walks, into their way, it was God arriving to them to rescue them. They knew who Jesus was. They called him by name. They called him Master, because they probably recognized Jesus as the healing rabbi who healed a man from leprosy in their region about 3 years ago when Jesus began his ministry in Luke chapter 5. The leper had asked the Lord if he was willing to heal him, and Jesus said, "Yes, I am willing." And that leper was immediately healed. Now, 3 years later, the 10 asked Jesus, "Master, have mercy on us. Please have mercy on us." And it says in verse 13, he lifted up their voices saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that his face was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving thanks. He was the Samaritan. In Luke 5, Jesus touched the leper and healed him, but in Luke 17 here, without touching them, Jesus tells them to do an act of obedience, an act of faith. Go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. Jesus didn't heal them immediately by touch. Now, if they did not believe Jesus and did not obey him, they would not be healed. So it seems like this healing, Jesus required obedience. Jesus required obedience, and we find out that also Jesus seems to require gratitude. Normally, the role of the priest was to verify that the healing already took place, and something different happened here. First, the lepers obeying Jesus' command was an act of faith, an act of obedience for them, that Jesus would heal them if they believed the Lord would heal them by his command. And imagine them walking on the road together, 10 of them. They didn't have a mirror. They can't see the healing on themselves, but they can look at their fellow lepers, and they start to see clear skin. They start to see the redness of the rash goes away. Gradually, as they were walking, they were being healed. And perhaps they got excited to see one another with beautiful skin, that they began to celebrate, crying and hugging one another, and it was as though they were all being resurrected from the dead. Secondly, why go to the priests? Well, the priests were the ones to declare them clean, but I think Jesus had a greater purpose. It was so that the priests would see their witness that Jesus was God, that only since God was the only one that could heal the leprosy, they would testify and verify what Jesus was able to do, that God was with them. He had come to them. In verse 17, then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? And he said to them, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." At that point, 9 of them disappeared off to the sunset. 9 of them, presumably 9 Jewish lepers, went back to live their lives again. They were excited to be alive again. But only one of them came back, the Samaritan. He turned back to Jesus to praise God. And the words are like a megaphone with a loud voice, shouting as loud as he used to shout, "Unclean, unclean." And now he is shouting, "Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus." The healed Samaritan fell at Jesus' feet. He made a complete face plant on Jesus' feet. He touched him, and with a loud voice, he said, "Thank you. Thank you, Jesus." When Luke mentions the one who returns, he said he was a Samaritan. Perhaps he was not the most likely person to return, but he was the only one who did. All 10 lepers were cleansed from leprosy, regardless of their faith, regardless of their age, male or female. They were once a leper, but only one came back to worship the Lord. It didn't matter if they were Jewish or Samaritan, or if they were religious or not religious, whether they were old or young, but Jesus healed them by common grace. But now we have a 10% retention. 10 go to church, and 1 stays to worship and follow the Lord Jesus, to be thankful for eternity. This Samaritan leper returned to Jesus, not because he was a teacher or a rabbi. Physical healing is temporary, but he recognized Jesus as the Master, the Messiah. He was the Savior. And spiritual salvation is eternal. The third thing that he was thankful, that he could be thankful, that returning to thank Jesus led to his eternal spiritual salvation. 10 lepers were healed, but only 1 was truly saved. Most of the people whom Jesus the Messiah healed on earth were saved when he healed them. And then they came to saving faith afterwards. When Jesus said, "Rise, your faith has made you well," the literal text says, "Rise, your faith has saved you," from the word sozo, to save. Or it could be also translated to make you whole. Jesus did not say your gratitude has saved you, but it is your faith, your worship of me at my feet as your Messiah has cleansed your soul as well. The physical healing of all 10 lepers here demonstrate that God's compassion and grace went to the lepers. He didn't just heal his followers. He didn't just heal his friends. He didn't just heal religious people. He didn't just heal the Jews. This was common grace. And when all come to Jesus, all pray to God, most of the time, by common grace, he will also heal you. Physical healing is a gift. It is good. but it was not the total package that God intended. God wants to give us much, much more than an incomplete gift. The physical healing of those 10 lepers was temporary, but they would still someday die, and someday they could have had salvation too, that lasts forever. They got their miracle, but with ingratitude, they missed their Messiah. When we turn to God and give him thanks and worship him, I think Jesus' disappointment in the words, "Where are the nine? God expects more." Do we not just want the stuff that we pray for, but a relationship with the Lord? Do we not just want the gifts, but also love the giver? Do we not just want the healing, but also to have a Savior? Then we come with gratitude to say thank you. On one hand, it was a great blessing that 10 lepers, 10 lives were all healed and were all rescued from their social isolation, and they had a chance to experience new life that can result in a more fulfilled life for the rest of their life in a community, inclusion on earth. But where are the nine? Physically saved, but not spiritually saved. They received the answer to their prayers for healing, but it would have been far better if they drew close to God with thankfulness and a growing intimacy with God. And that's what Jesus seemed to desire and expect from all his people, a heart of gratitude. Not only will he save us and rescue us in our time of need, that he will provide for us as his children, but he also desires to know us for eternity. Church people, we experience the goodness of God. We sing about the goodness of God. We get the healing. We get the college acceptances. We get the academic success, the dream jobs, the social popularity, respectable roles in our community, and live the good life. But this Thanksgiving, in a few days from now, let us be intentional towards the Lord, to return to him and truly give thanks, not for the stuff that he gives us. Let us truly be thankful for the Lord himself. To go to school, not just for the education or the degree, but to grow deep in the Lord, in the community, and find your calling. And we enter into a dating or marriage relationship, not just for the love and for the benefits, but to seek for God's glory as a unit together. Turn back to Jesus and give thanks. Give him your heart. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, may we not neglect to thank you, Lord, for so many blessings we have received. You have blessed us and waited for us to run back to you with thanks. But where have we gone? Have we taken you for granted? Please forgive us. Give us a thankful heart and soul. Let us speak it, sing it, and live it, that we might be a visible and not silent evidence of your earthly healing and eternal saving. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
That's all right.